Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Pleasant good day to you once again. Welcome to Inside Finance. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. As always, it's a great opportunity to talk with you. Last week, we spoke with Miss Ophelia Wells Cornwall. It was a wonderful discussion about the Inland Revenue and what is happening in there. And today, we will be talking to the Permanent Secretary, again, Mr. Timothy Antoine, in the Ministry of Finance. We'll be talking about what is happening. A public servant received a back pay. A lot of people is happy. We'll ask him about that. Budget and a number of other things, CDB and other things. Looking forward in this half an hour, Inside Finance with the Permanent Secretary, Mr. Timothy Antoine. We are in the Ministry of Finance. Take a word from our sponsors. We come right back and continue the discussion here this afternoon.
One call does it all. All your basic construction needs. Backhoe, compressor, bobcat, and acroprop services. Make one call. One call does it all. 443-2894 or 409-1533. For bobcat, backhoe, compressor, or acroprop services, call One Call Construction Services. 443-2894 or 409-1533. Make it one call.
Thank you so much for joining me. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. With me in the studio is Mr. Timothy Antwine. We are Inside Finance. Good day to you.
Good afternoon, Pastor Simon, and good afternoon to all our listeners.
How are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you.
You look with a big smile across your face, boy. That check looked like you come off your back here. You're feeling good about it?
I am encouraged.
You are encouraged.
I am encouraged.
Encouraged. That's good. How have you been keeping, though?
I am good. I've been traveling quite a bit recently on obviously official business related to what the government is attempting to do on the homegrown program, the debt restructuring, and a few other things. So it's been a busy period for me personally, but also satisfying because we're making progress and we're seeing results on the key issues that we're working on at the moment. So busy but good.
Okay, that's good. And I'm sure my audience is waiting, looking forward to hear some of the questions and the answers today. Now, the big one, and which is, I think, very, very important, public servants, I guess, are smiling. Public workers are happy because they have received their back pay. How much did it cost us, and how do you feel about the achievement? What the cost of that, boy?
Yes. So, as promised, the public officers, including teachers, police officers, prison officers, received the fourth and final installment of back pay last week, Thursday, Friday. A promise that was kept. The cost of that was about $12.5 million for the final installment, $12.5 million. So with that, starting with what was done last May, when salaries were increased, May 2013, and then back payment, two back pays in last year, both in August and then again at the end of November. And then this year, we had the third one in April and the fourth one in July. We've paid close to $40 million.
So that's the total cost.
Total cost of back pay. So a lot of money, but clearly, I think we all feel very gratified that has been achieved, and the government was able to meet its commitment to public servants as promised. I want to express appreciation to the public servants and the particular unions who worked with government. You would recall we did ask the unions for an adjustment in the payment schedule, which was negotiated and agreed, and we stayed pretty close to the schedule. A little adjustment here and there, but generally speaking, I think we were able to come in as promised. So basically, I am very pleased that we have been able to meet that obligation as promised. And I hope public officers also feel a sense of commitment, because, you know, government has done its very best in a difficult time. Because let's face it, I mean, we're talking right now in many countries about public servants either going home or getting a cut in pay. I mean, as in the case of Barbados, as in, and in the case of St. Lucia, they're talking about a wage cut. So for us to be able to pay a salary increase, albeit after several years, because you recall the last one was in 2008, and then of course to be able to pay a back pay over the last year, basically, of around $40 million, that's an amazing achievement in itself.
This means that within the next 3 years, there will be no back pay to be paid to public servants.
Right. The understanding we have with our public sector unions is that we will not have any wage increases during the life of the homegrown program, which is essentially years 2014, 15, and 16. It's part of our sacrifice, but clearly it's an important one because, of course, I think we all recognize that the payroll is a major part of government expenditure. You're talking about $25 to $28 million. When I include pensions, when I say $25 to $28 million, every month that we have to find, 70% of all monies we collect are spent on wages and pensions. So it's important for us to keep our expenditure tight, even as we try to increase the revenues to basically address the question of the monthly fiscal gap.
On that note, will pensioners also be receiving back pay?
Yes. I'm glad you asked that because I think a few people are wondering about that. Mm-hmm. So it's good that we're able to address this issue. So we were obviously focused on the public servants, which is, I mean, the big number. Now that that is done, we're actually working on preparing the vouchers for pensioners. Now, pensioners got a first payment last year for 2009. All right, so they've got back pay for 2009, but we now have to complete that. So what is happening right now is that in the Ministry of Finance, in the Treasury, they're working on preparing the vouchers for pensioners. Once that is done, they will then advise me that that is complete. They will also give me an indication at the time of how much that will cost. We have an idea, but when you do the actual vouchers, then you get a final number. And then once we've determined the number, we have to make a decision about when we could pay, obviously cash flow permitting. So pensioners will be paid. I am not in a position to say today when that will be done, but I think the good news is that they're being focused on, the vouchers are being prepared, and in due course we'll make an announcement on that as well.
Sound positive. So the pensioners, I guess, could look forward to something.
They can look forward to something.
That's
yes.
Good. You see the Prime Minister and the Permanent Secretary is looking after you.
Well, the government of Grenada is trying to meet its obligations to public officers and
pensioners.
You're
very diplomatic.
It's the government. I'm just part of
the team.
Yeah, I'm part of the team.
Part of the team.
Yes.
Now, last week you were at the Caribbean Development Bank. What happened there?
Right. So I was at the CDB for board meetings. And particularly of interest to Grenada was CDB's consideration of Grenada's homegrown program. You know, IMF endorsed the program in June 26th. Mm-hmm. World Bank did the same on June 30th. And last week, Thursday, July 17th, the CDB, Caribbean Development Bank, endorsed Grenada's homegrown program and approved a very soft loan of $10 million in the first instance to support that. That's the first of three. Keep in mind, CDB's contribution is going to be $30 million, 10 each year, so it approved the first $10 million. So that was a very important decision for us, because it means now that our key partners, IMF, World Bank, and CDB, have all come on board, and we now have formal approvals by their boards for Grenada's homegrown program. That is very significant. So that's another milestone. More than that, I think it provides us now with a basis to proceed, expedite other things, including the debt restructuring, which we've been working on. And of course, to implement some of the key programs that are in the budget that were approved by Parliament and for which we have not had funding. And we will now be able to do some of those things. So CDB was very, very positive in that sense. I also, while there, was involved in a couple other committees, including the governance committee, which I chair. Well, Grenada chairs, and since I represent Grenada, I am the chair of that committee. Looking at some governance reforms at CDB to improve CDB's effectiveness to the member states, including Grenada, and to make it a more responsive and a more efficient and effective institution. So I also did that while I was there. While in Barbados, I also worked on some insurance issues with the Colonial Life Insurance, CLICO, CIL, as well as some other issues with British American. And on a future program, I could also talk about what we're doing on the insurance side. So it was a very hectic week in Barbados last week, but also a very productive one. And the bottom line is that we now have the key partners fully behind Grenada, where in fact they have approved, not just endorsed the program, but they have approved monies to disburse to Grenada to support our program.
So you are saying then the feedback from CDB and the partners are very good?
Very positive. To be honest with you, Pastor Simon, I mean, I was personally very gratified, very encouraged by the statements that were made in the board about what Grenada has done in the last couple of years. Certainly, everybody in CDB knows the difficulties that Grenada went through, including our difficulties with payroll, including the issues with obviously the credit rating of the bank and a number of other things. And there were several directors who spoke and said that they not only strongly support Grenada's program, but they wanted to commend Grenada for the steps taken to really address the fiscal situation and the structural issues in the economy and to turn the thing around. And of course, they were also very personally very supportive to me. I mean, they appreciate obviously the work that we've been doing, and I had also very personal support from the members. They know it's been rough. They know it's been difficult. They know it's been a lot of hard work, but I think they feel that when the tough calls are needed, countries need to make the tough calls, and that's what we're doing. And people are always more supportive and willing to help when they know that you're making efforts, you're making sacrifice, mm-hmm. you're doing the right things. So I came away from the meeting not just feeling good for Grenada in the sense that we were doing the right things, but also feeling encouraged that people recognize what we're doing. And in fact, in a number of instances, what I heard, people said it in the meeting, was that I think we all have to pay very close attention to what Grenada is doing, because some of us will probably have to be doing the same things.
Wow.
I wouldn't call the names of the countries that said that, but I mean, I think people will, it's pretty obvious what I'm talking about here. So very, very strong support from the development partners. And you must remember, in CDB, you have people like Canada, the UK, Germany, China, Venezuela, Colombia, Mexico, in addition to the Caribbean
so
countries.
So it's not just the Caribbean countries?
No. The directors, CDB has about 17, 18 directors coming from countries outside of the Caribbean, as well as in the Caribbean. And all of them are make up the board. So when I speak here, I'm not just speaking about Caribbean. I'm not just talking about Barbados or St. Lucia or St. Vincent or Belize or Dominica or Antigua, all of which are also members. I'm also speaking with the non-regional members. They were very supportive.
That's very good.
Yes.
It's positive. Now, with the homegrown program that we have, government has promised to establish a monitoring committee for the homegrown program. What is the status of this committee and where are we? Because it's important now, as you get all these endorsement, now making sure we do the things we promised to do is done. Where are we on that?
Very, very important. Very, very important. We have to monitor and we have to make sure we deliver on our commitments. I'm very pleased to say that the monitoring committee had its first meeting last week. On Tuesday, July 22nd, we actually met for the first time. The members of the committee are Mrs. Annie Bathford from the Grenada Private Sector Organization, Ms. Sandra Ferguson from Civil Society, Mr. Andre Lewis from the Grenada Trade Union Council, Mr. Alvin Clowden from the churches, and Mr. Ronald James from the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank. And yours truly, I represent government and I chair the committee. So six of us met along with the support staff of the Ministry of Finance, and we went through what it is that we're going to be doing. And we also alerted the media to the fact that we were starting our work. Our job essentially is on a monthly basis to receive a report from the Ministry of Finance to be able to assess the performance of the program, the implementation of the program, to give advice on implementation, including taking corrective measures where necessary, and also to tell the public what we have found. So on a monthly basis, we will issue a communique telling the public, having met, what it is that we have found. And so you will expect probably in the next few days, we will send out our first communique, and every month we will do that. Now, ultimately, we report back into the Committee of Social Partners. So we were set up by the Committee of Social Partners, which of course is chaired by the Prime Minister and includes the churches, the business, labor unions, civil society, and of course government. So we will be monitoring, and of course we will send them our reports, so they will, you know, they will know what is going on as well. But I'm very pleased to say that we have a good committee. We, you know, people who are very committed, who are very committed to Grenada. I have no doubt about that. And who will take the work, the job very seriously.
So it seems that you are at a good position. When I say you, I mean the country is at a good position in going forward with the homegrown program at the moment.
Well, yes, we are. I mean, we definitely locked in. We're working at our results. And so far, we have been delivering those results. We now have people looking at it with us. So it's not just government. We have all the partners, because it's shared sacrifice, shared benefits. Everybody has to be involved. And we've always said the program has to be, everybody has to know what is going on. We must not come to the end of 3 years and people say, well, what did we achieve? People must know as we go along. And if we have to make adjustments, we must know what we're doing and why we're doing it. And so, full disclosure. Now, what we're doing in the monitoring committee is separate and apart, or is in addition to what we're already doing in the Ministry of Finance. So what we're doing on this program inside finance, what we're doing on our bulletin board, where we publish the results every month, what we're doing on our website, where we send in, we send out the information on our, publish it on our website. Those things will continue. But beyond what government is doing, the social partners will have a role. And clearly, they will have views, which obviously we would have to consider as they receive the reports and they make recommendations as required.
Okay. When next is, not when next, when is the next IMF review due for Grenada's homegrown program?
Well, in a matter of weeks, essentially right after Carnival. Okay. All right. The IMF will be here to do their first review, because they will be looking at the first. So they come, I think, from the 18th of August, and they'll be here for about 10 days or so. They will look at the first 6 months of performance, so January to June, and see what we've done based on what we were supposed to do, and check that. If everything is okay, then they will make a recommendation for a second disbursement to Grenada
based on our performance. And that would be how much?
That would be about another $8.5 million EC dollars, just like the first one. And pretty much that's a fixed sum. Every time they do if we pass the review, then we get another about $8.5 million EC dollars. 3.2 million US. Now, as usual, when the IMF is here, they will meet with social partners. So, I mean, that's standard. They will meet with, you know, they'll meet the government. Well, sorry, apart from government, they will meet with the trade unions. They will meet the business community. They will meet civil society. They will meet churches. They will meet opposition, other interested parties. That is standard, and that will continue. So basically, we could expect the fund to be here very, very soon.
Where is the World Bank in all of this?
Well, the World Bank is a key partner, and having already endorsed us and given us our first disbursement, which was 15 million US, the World Bank will be here. So what we'll do, whenever we have a review of the program, we'll invite not just the IMF, but the World Bank and the CDB and the European Union to be present, so that they will be able to get a good feel as well for what is going on, because they're supporting us directly as key partners in this enterprise. So the World Bank is very much behind us. And what I'm talking about here is budget support. Now, remember, there are also projects that both CDB and the World Bank are doing, which are separate things. And as we go along, I'll brief you on the projects that are being approved. Mm-hmm. For example, in the next CDB board, we'll be taking the student loan as well as the funding for SMEs, small business, for GDB. That will be going for the next board meeting. The World Bank will be working on a number of things, some infrastructure things and others. So as we go along, but separate and apart from those projects is the direct support, what we call budget support, for the homegrown program. And that is really against things that have been approved by the parliament that are in our budget. Mm-hmm. So when people say, well, what are you spending money on? We are spending the money on things that have already been approved. So whether it is small business development, which is in the budget, whether it is reducing unpaid claims to our contractors and so on, so that we could continue to implement our works program, whether it is dealing infrastructure like fixing some potholes, whether it is airlift marketing for the country so that we could increase our tourist arrivals and therefore the spending in the country and job creation. All of those things are already in the budget. The difference is that you're now getting some additional resources to help you implement what is in the budget. So it's not like you have to look for things to spend the money on.
You already have
the plan in the budget. It's basically the financing now to do some of the things that government said it was going to do.
Okay. Let me just remind our listeners, I'm speaking to Timothy Entwined, who is the Permanent Secretary of the Ministry of Finance. We're reviewing what government is doing and asking questions. We take a word from our sponsors. We come back and try to conclude the discussion I have with Timothy Entwined. Next, I want to ask him what's going on in terms of the ministry itself and what are we talking budget 2015. This is Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon with Mr. Timothy Entwined.
St. George's Baptist Church. Purpose: the channel God chooses to fulfill the needs of humanity. Vision: building communities which become the model for winning people to Christ. Mission: goal: empowering people to enjoy prosperity and fulfillment in life. These are the purpose, vision, and mission of the St. George's Baptist Church.
Welcome back. This is Inside Finance. With me is Mr. Timothy Entwined. Now, Mr. Timothy, last time we spoke, we mentioned that your ministry had commenced preparation for the budget 2015. What can you provide some update with us for us on this process and where you are at the moment?
Well, where we are is that Cabinet has approved the priorities for 2015, which include obviously fiscal and debt sustainability, human development, as well as improving the productive sectors, which is building a new economy. We've now advised the ministries of those priorities and invited them to basically start preparing their submissions to send to the Ministry of Finance for consideration. Next week, I believe on the 30th of July, we'll have a retreat with both the cabinet and the senior managers. And by senior managers, I mean the permanent secretaries and heads of non-ministerial departments. That will set the tone basically for the budget. It will formally, in a sense, kick off the process, although we already started. But everybody will be around the table. Everybody will be engaged. We'll update them on homegrown program and the 2015 priorities. Basically, what the ministries have been asked to do, given the priorities that have been approved by the cabinet, they have to send us any revenue proposals. So are there any proposals for revenue enhancement? They have to send us saving proposals, any
revenue and savings.
And savings, right? Ways to cut. And then finally, they have to send us expenditure proposals, spending, right? So whether it's Ministry of Works or Education or whatever. I was very pleased to get back from the Ministry of Education, the PS there, only earlier this week or last week, that there'll be no new spending. They basically will be looking to use the money that they have effectively. They get about $110 million every year. And more than that they're implementing some savings proposals to deal with, in fact, a paperless initiative where they will be trying to go paperless to reduce the cost of paper and ink and generally to improve efficiency in government. And that, I think, is to be applauded, and it's something that we could probably do throughout the public service. So I'm keen to see how that goes. But that's the kind of initiative you want to see. So ministries basically have to consider what revenues they are going to raise, what savings they're going to be able to quote, and also what spending along the priorities that they're going to put forward. And then we will consider it within the medium-term budget framework, and we will obviously make some recommendations to the cabinet. Now, sometime in September, we're going to have some consultations that we normally have with key stakeholders. So whether it is the farmers, whether it is the hoteliers, the business community, the trade labor unions, other key sectors, we'll have that. And we are looking at the possibility of a national consultation somewhere around the middle of September, probably the 16th of September. That is to be finalized and to be advised, but that is what our thinking is. And remember, the intention is to present the budget around the end of November.
Okay, end of November.
A little earlier than we normally do.
That sounds good. It means that your government is working very hard.
Well, yes, but also it means that we get that done before Christmas. I don't think we want to be doing a budget too close to Christmas.
Okay.
So the idea is you get it out of the way, both houses of parliament consider it and approve it. And then you have, at the start of the new year, everybody is very clear, the budget is in place, and from day one, you basically know what it is you're doing.
Okay. My final question to you. As I entered the Ministry of Finance, I couldn't help, but I noticed a logo, STAR, over the bulletin board. What does that mean? Because I'm sure others may see it and wondering, what in the world is STAR?
Yes, uh-huh. That's an exciting, I don't want to say a secret anymore because I think it's our secret is out. STAR basically is an initiative that stands for, S stands for shared sacrifice, T, teamwork, A, accountability, R, results. STAR is an initiative of the Ministry of Finance, which we have basically shared with the rest of the public service and we are promoting across the public service. It is for us in this period of adjustment, in this period of sacrifice, in this period of nation building, a new way for government to do business. It is a celebration of our core values. It is a culture shift and a clarion call to collective action in Grenada, starting with government. STAR, the acronym, was born out of adversity, inspired by necessity, energized by creativity, and is motivated by opportunity. Pastor Simon, as I came out of a devotion one morning, that is what came to me. And it is, as I said, shared sacrifice, which means what? We understand the challenging times in which we live, and we embrace the opportunity to transform Grenada, starting right where we are now. It also means we accomplish more with less, and it means that we sow now to reap the benefits later. That's important. We are sowing now to reap the benefits later. Teamwork. We understand and embrace our role and add value to Team Grenada. We work together so we can win together. We help each other to get the job done. Accountability. We perform best when we are held accountable. We take responsibility for our actions and own our mistakes. We communicate clearly and consistently about our progress on agreed targets. Celebrate milestones and take prompt corrective action when necessary. And finally, results. We understand it is not what we say that counts, it is what we do. We are judged by our actions, not by our words. We do not make excuses. We show courage, lean into problems, and find creative solutions. Ultimately, we get the job done. So this little initiative is growing. If you look at the back of our business cards in the Ministry of Finance, you will see the logo. If you get an email from us in the Ministry of Finance, at the bottom you will see the logo STAR. If you look at our bulletin board, you will see above it STAR. If you go above my right above my office, the STAR zone. So we are building this idea of a new way of doing business. And the issue, Pastor Simon, is that even in difficult times, we can shine.
Wow.
Stars shine. This is a defining moment for Grenada. This period is a defining moment for our country. And we have to embrace it for what it is and make the most of it. So that when we look back 5, 10, 15 years from now, this period would have been a most important period, a watershed period in the history of our country. We may not feel like that at the moment, but in fact, that's what we're in. So for us, this is a way to rally us in the Ministry of Finance, the public service, and indeed the entire country. And I am pleased to say that I have found people outside of government who like the idea and who have started to use the acronym STAR. So we'll talk about that more as we go on, but thanks for noticing it.
I had to. I didn't have a choice. It was very vivid, and I couldn't help but asking the question. We're out of time, and thank you so much. Any final thought?
Again, I have faith in our country, I have faith in God, and I believe if we work together, we can do it. We are seeing some encouraging signs. There are some private sector projects that have started and will be starting shortly. So in addition to what is going on the fiscal side, the whole area of growth and job creation is very important, and obviously is a big focus. And I expect as we go on over the next few months, we're going to see even more of that, such that we will begin to see the reality of the new economy of which we speak.
Wonderful. I have been speaking there to Mr. Timothy Antoine. The question of STAR, S-T-A-R, shared sacrifice, teamwork, accountability, and results. That's all about.
That's what it's all about.
Thank you, Mr. Timothy Antoine. He's Permanent Secretary of the Ministry of Finance. Continue to work with the Prime Minister, the government, and the people of Grenada to ensure that we succeed. Public servants are happy. They have received their back pay.
They are indeed.
And the pensioners' own is coming.
They are coming.
They are coming. Folks, this is good. Thank you so much. Once again, Mr. Timothy Adwine, as you have shared with us, I'm very, 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 very thankful for the opportunity you have given to us to come and talk with you here in the Ministry of Finance.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. Great, folks. You heard it there. This has been a program of Inside Finance. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. Thank you so much for joining us today. God bless you. Have a great week. Join me next week at the same time. We do this all over again, right here inside the Ministry of Finance.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.